Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Giants fans and Yankees fans have spent a lot of their lives celebrating great moments. This weekend was not one of those for either team. It was not anything you're going to want to remember and play back on a DVD or a DVR or your phone at any point in your life. You're going to want to run away from this ALCS for the rest of time, and you're going to never want to think about Giants Cardinals for the rest of time. We left on Friday. We said, man, it would be brutal for the Yankees to go down three games in a row at home in this ALCS. They got to show some fight. Well, they did. They won on Friday night, and they went to Houston on Saturday, showed some fight there. The LeMahieu home run was about as big of a moment as you could get until the Altuve home run was bigger. It's over now for New York sports because we don't have any other teams that have any shot of doing anything positive for a good year. So, buckle up, everybody. Time for more disappointment and underachieving. Now that the Yankees are out, hey, maybe the Jets will beat the Patriots tonight. At least you got that. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what, Gio? I'm all right. Yeah, you come to work this morning, everybody's miserable. Everybody's just, you know, down in the dumps. And yesterday's performance by the Giants kind of amplified what happened to the Yankees over the weekend. And it's just like nobody even wants to even, like, accept reality, you know? And reality is, and I spoke about it until the cows came home, you want home field advantage in the playoffs. You want to be at home. You want to be able to play to your crowd and everything else, especially with the way the crowd is in Houston. And so it's not shocking to me that the Yankees ended up losing in Houston. It's unfortunate that I'm right there with Aaron Judge. He was pretty honest about it. He said this season's a failure. We expected to go to the World Series. We expected to win the World Series, essentially. And, you know, what's his name? Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, said, man, it looks like it's going to be their year. You remember he said
yes,
that?
Yes, he did.
So, and it turned out not to be their year. And the reason for it is because it looks like it's Houston's year. You know, and maybe it's the Nationals' year. Who knows? You know, it's a crazy year in baseball and all that other stuff. But two of the higher spending teams make it to the World Series that starts tomorrow night. And I don't know. I just felt like when I was watching a game on Saturday night, you're looking at these guys like Ottavino pitched well, Sessa pitched well, Happ pitched well. All the guys you never expected to have to go out there and pitch all pitched really well. And then the guys that you have counted on, guys that you believed in all year long, the Chad Greens who gives up the three-run homer, and then the Chapman who gives the two-run homer up. And then, of course, Canely gives up the one run. I mean, it was exciting, to say the least. And DJ LeMahieu, I think, topped off his Yankee season with a nice big old cherry on top. You know, he came through huge. Gio Urshela came through huge in game six. A lot of guys that had been disappearing, got back into the fray. But, you know, again, you know, Gary Sanchez, no help.
He did get a big hit in game six, late, finally. Yeah.
But he also, the whole Stanton thing was a disaster.
How does he not play in game six?
But why should he have played? Did you see him in game five? He was horrendous.
I understand, but they said they didn't want to test his quad. I mean, it's like, to me, if you're playing in game five, so the flight and then the early turnaround, now he can't play? Give me a break. It's either that he doesn't play at all and you take him off the roster, or once he comes back, he plays. And it is sort of ironic that the fact that Giancarlo Stanton didn't play in all the games that the Yankees lost in the postseason and played in all the games that they won. I mean, that's a weird stat, but That's what happened. And really,
but you know, in game five, he didn't look.
I know he didn't. It just to me, the way that the thing was handled, it was the perfect balance of half-assing it, right? That's exactly what it was. The Yankees half-assed this thing. They never really finally made a decision whether you're in or you're out. If you're healthy enough to play game five, then you should be healthy enough to play game six, unless you re-aggravated the thing, which they said that he didn't. But whatever. Screw him. I mean, he's got to come back and win the MVP next year for this guy to be anybody to even turn around and have a positive opinion on him. But the Yankees couldn't hit. And then, you know, I understand Cole and Verlander getting shut down by those guys. He actually beat Verlander on Friday night. But, you know, in this bullpen game, I mean, that's when the Yankee offense needed to dominate. And they didn't. And the postseason ERA for the Yankees pitchers in this series, the best out of anybody, even the ones that are still left in the postseason, better than the Nationals, better than the Astros. So the pitching was okay. I mean, I still agree that the Yankees have to upgrade their starting staff because you can't be doing this bullpen stuff again. But they didn't pitch all that poorly. They just couldn't hit.
I would say the Yankees have to upgrade their staff. And I would say if you could get Gerrit Cole, that would be great. But if he can't and he goes to the Angels, better than staying in Houston.
100%.
So now, you know, you're spreading that pitching out a little bit and it doesn't come back to haunt you as much. But, I agree with you 100%. Finally, Gio Urshela showed up. You know what I'm saying? And you see what happens when he shows up? Now, all of a sudden, the team looks differently.
Yeah.
They're getting hits at the bottom of the lineup. And John Smoltz was talking about it, that all of a sudden, you know, 6 through 9 showed up for the Yankees. And 6 through 9 has been, you know, a big part of the Yankees' success all year long. You know, it's frustrating. It really is, especially when Chapman, who is a fastball pitcher, decides to hang a slider. And gets beat on a slider that is not his pitch. You know, I mean, that is really, and everybody, and including, again, John Smoltz saying it, you know, when it's a 2-0 count on Altuve, Mariznick is in the box, you know, you got the base open.
Pitch around him,
you know. And
I thought that's actually what he was doing because Chapman, you know, you could either say he's pitching around him or he lost his control. And it looks like he lost his control because he came back on 2-1 with a slider that was right there that he could have hit out. And then the next one was another slider that he did hit out.
And the amazing thing is where does Altuve like to hit the ball from? The top of the strike zone, right?
Yeah.
And that's all we talked about. That's all they talked about for 6 games. And his home runs are like tomahawks.
Yeah, and let's talk about this Chapman smiling thing for a second. Like, people are freaking out about this. Mariano Rivera did the same thing back in 2001. Guys just have certain reactions like, are you bleeping kidding me? And then they'll have a smirk on their face. Do I think that Aroldis Chapman, or should anybody think that Aroldis Chapman was actually smiling because Jose Altuve hit a home run or their season was over? Absolutely not. That's more of a, can you believe this type of deal? People react in different ways. I believe that Aroldis Chapman wanted to win. He wanted to make a big pitch. I think that he cared. I just think that that's the way that he reacted in a more of a, this is unbelievable manner than a, oh yeah, great, good for the Astros. This is awesome. I mean, anybody with that opinion is just irrationally angry that their team lost, in my opinion.
I agree with you. It's the social media mob that, you know, has to take their anger out on somebody.
Yeah.
And they're taking it out on their closer, obviously, that blows the game. So, I you know, it's a non-story as far as I'm concerned. When I saw it, I was just like, come on, man.
Good.
Enough of the stupidity already. I mean, it's bad enough that they lost home field advantage by what I believe is kind of like doing stupid things in September to keep the bullpen fresh and not really going for it. I'm telling you, look, Greg.
I don't think this was a home field advantage thing. They lost 2 out of 3 at home, man. What's the difference? I mean, the Astros were just better. I mean, the Yankees ended up
losing the elimination game in Houston. That's the thing. I know
you really wanted to be right about that, but I think that they also, to me, it wouldn't have mattered. The Astros were better. They lost 2 out of 3 at home. I mean, the Yankees, it's not like the Yankees, where they played, they won a game in Houston. The 2 other games in Houston, they went to extra innings. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that the Astros, to me, and I know it's such a simplistic take, but the Astros are more of a championship team, and they were better all around. Defensively and getting the big hit were the two biggest things, and the starting pitching, obviously, were the things that sent them into the World Series. That's what it was.
Well, that's 3 things then.
Yeah, okay.
And home field advantage.
Right, okay.
They make it 4 things.
Was it really home field advantage, though, when the Astros won half of their games in the series at Yankee Stadium?
I think it is home field advantage for Houston when you hit a walk-off home run and the game is over and the Yankees don't have another chance to come back up at bat. I mean, I do think that. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like at the end of September that they weren't, and not that they weren't trying to win. Of course, you're trying to win, and whoever you're putting out on the mound is trying to win. But and Smoltz said it, and they kept talking about the whole series how they were trying to preserve the arms for this particular situation. And in this particular situation, a couple of those arms that you preserve, Chad Green did not have a great series. Chapman gives up the home run. You can go down the line. I just go back to September and just like, you know, you want to win every game, you want to have it in your building, and you want to be able to do what Altuve was able to do. But there is something to be said about having a championship pedigree, which is what the Houston Astros have. All know that.
That's right, and that
Bailey bore itself out, especially in Houston,
and leaving a village on the bases in this series too for the Yankees. I mean, that's what it was. Is the middle of the order couldn't do anything in big spots for most of the series. And Edwin Encarnacion probably shouldn't have been playing at all. I mean, you had these two guys in Encarnacion and Stanton, outside of Stanton in game one, it was like a total black hole. You needed more from Judge. I mean, Judge always gets a pass, and I understand why. And I still think that this guy is one of the faces of baseball, one of the great players in baseball. But he wasn't good enough. You know, and Gary Sanchez, some of the same stuff he does. You know, he has a home run, of course, in game four that got the game closer.
Yeah,
has a big hit in game six.
Right, but
pass balls and strikeouts. It's just him. It's just him.
I don't know, man.
And that guy doesn't – he just doesn't – there's guys up and down that order with Houston where you feel like every time they're going to give you a competitive at-bat – you know, and they're not going to make that big mistake in the most critical moment. And I feel like Gary Sanchez is the opposite of that. You know, those are the things where, you know, really to me, the lack of the big hits, like a guy like Springer, a guy like Correa, who are hitting under 200 for the series, coming up with big three-run homers. You know, and then you have another big three-run homer from Gurriel to kick things off in game six. It's just that those big hits that the Yankees got the entire year, they were not getting in this series, and it wasn't just against Cole and Verlander that they weren't getting them.
A lot of two-out opportunities that they couldn't come
right
through on. Yes.
Right, yes, exactly. You know what? That's so true, because how many times do you feel like the Yankees, you know, had like maybe bases loaded, nobody out, they got the leadoff guy on? I feel like that never happened. Like, they'd string things together.
But it would be two outs.
Yeah, and they'd have an opportunity, they could never get that hit.
And somebody would pop up or strike out.
And the biggest one came with two outs with LeMahieu, of course. But still, for the majority of the series, they were lacking that.
Game four, that killed them.
Yeah.
Game four killed them.
Yep.
And so, I felt like two things. Whoever won game three was going to win the series, and the fact that it was home field advantage for the Astros.
Yeah,
that it was going to be really difficult for the Yankees to go back there and get both of those games in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it's the starting pitching for sure is something that people are going to focus on, and I understand. And the Yankees, I don't think, could go into another year with this team like wondering whether or not, you know, they'll get this out of Paxton or this out of Tanaka.
And I'll
by
tell
the
you
way,
what, Paxton,
Paxton
did a hell
was
of
awesome.
A job.
He was awesome.
Yes,
and that if you're going to take maybe two positives out of, you know, things that, you know, players going forward, even though LeMahieu's only signed for one more year, is that DJ LeMahieu took his regular season into the postseason, and that guy is just the man. Like, you just trust that guy with every ounce of you. And the other one is that, you know, James Paxton, with another opportunity in an elimination game, came up huge. He was great. And he had a Yankee postseason moment when Aaron Boone goes out and says, "How you feeling?" He goes, "No, I'm good. Let's go. Let's bleep and go."
Yeah, he'd almost get right there. I mean, the next pitch.
That right there is what, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's been looking for that moment for a long time. James Paxton had that moment in that game five. So forget about how he pitched, you know, in game two for a second. I think people will think about that game five with the season on the line, and he was great.
I think the game two thing, some people would say that they yanked him too early.
Right, he didn't have a chance to redeem himself.
Right, exactly.
But he had a bad first inning in game five, too, and was able to work his way through it.
But he showed something. And, you know, the other thing, too, is so did Justin Verlander, because he stayed in that game until the seventh inning.
You're right.
And he kept the bullpen fresh for the bullpen game that
100%.
Ultimately the Astros won in game six. So
100%.
That guy's a stud, man.
He
lose the game, but he was a stud.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he shut down 20 of 21 guys after that first inning.
He was great after that. I mean, well, yeah, after the Hicks home run, the guy, there wasn't any runs scored in the game after that first inning.
Even Gardner almost had a home run, you know, in game six, and that ball's just foul.
Yeah.
Just foul.
Man, you know, there's just a
Gardner had a number of chances in this,
yeah,
in this
he did.
Series.
He did.
No matter where he was batting in the lineup, he had opportunity after opportunity.
And this is why you go into a – when there's a team as good as Houston that has now beaten you, what, 3 out of the last 5 years in the postseason, you know, with the wild card game and then the 2 ALCSs. And then the Yankees are stringing together these 100-win seasons. They're as good as they are. It makes for a really interesting thought process about how you – the things to fix,
them?
Right?
How do you catch them, right?
Right, the things to fix. Now, I mean, obviously taking Cole off of that team and putting him on the Yankees is an obvious one. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he loves Houston so much and he feels like, listen, this is a championship group that I don't want to leave. Maybe he wants to go back to Southern California and the Angels. And then, you know, Artie Moreno is going to give him a gazillion dollars to go there. Or maybe the pull to the Yankees because he was a Yankee fan when he was growing up is something that he wants. I don't know.
Do you know the amount of money that is the difference between if he signs with the Angels or the Yankees as opposed to the Houston Houston Astros?
Oh, because of the tax
state
stuff,
tax.
Yeah.
Do you realize the enormity of that number?
$250 to $300 million, yeah.
Right, so you're talking about at least $25 to $30 million when it comes to like taxes. That in itself is life-altering
hey,
money.
Hey, he comes here, he'll get a Ray Catina endorsement,
right,
and then he'll be able to make up that money, right? That's what we'll do. That's how we'll get him here.
I know that you know people don't think about that, but when you're talking about numbers at this level, it is a big portion of the thought process, especially if you get two teams that are offering you the same amount of money. Now, the Astros may want to go a little bit lower because of the taxes, but it's still going to be a decision for him to make. If I'm him and I look at that Astros lineup and I look at the future of that team, I don't know. I would want to stay there. At least they're going to be good for the next 3 years minimum.
Yeah, it's basically where you want to live, right? That's what it's going to come down to because you know, this is a guy who is probably – well, we'll see what happens in the World Series. But he could win a World Championship, so he'll have that in his back pocket forever. And he'll be the guy that was most responsible for it. And then he'll decide where he wants to live. You know, the problem with the Yankees is you know they have got another contract – that in the first couple of years looks like
an albatross.
Yes, a 7 billion pound albatross in Giancarlo Stanton. This guy's got 8 years left on this deal at insane money, and he has done zilch for this team. He was a non-factor this past year. So when everybody talks about go out and get Cole for $250 million, you know, that's real easy to say, but every team, including the Boston Red Sox, who fired their general manager after he got him a World Series because they're changing their mentality over there because they're getting hammered by this luxury tax, not everybody wants to pay that. You know, this isn't back in the day where, you know, just spend freely. It doesn't matter. There are huge penalties that ownership groups don't want to deal with. So when you've got guys like Giancarlo Stanton and Jacoby Ellsbury and these bums that are on your payroll that are giving you nothing, you can't just go out and spend $300 million on a pitcher when you also have to pay Aaron Judge at some point, right?
Gleyber Torres
at some point. Go down the line.
You're going to have to make a decision on Gary Sanchez. You have to make a decision now on Didi Gregorius. You're going to have to make a decision again on DJ LeMahieu when he's up in a year. So they have some, you know, long-term planning to look at. Now, remember, you have Andujar coming back. You're not paying Urshela that much money. Torres and Judge aren't making that much money right now. They extended both Severino and Hicks to reasonable contracts. That may be something that you try to do with Gleyber Torres and Judge if they're going to be here for the next 6 years, which I'd like to think they are.
Sure.
But again, you really start have because of this $300 million albatross contract around the neck of the Yankees, it's going to cost somebody something, especially if they want to try to upgrade the pitching. So upgrading the pitching either means Strasburg or Cole. And those guys aren't taking less than $250 million. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the plan that is laid out here in the Post this morning about, oh, go out and get Francisco Lindor and Gerrit Cole. Okay, you know, what does Hal Steinbrenner think about that? Because you know what that means? That means they are going to get murdered when they go over the luxury tax. That's the deal. Okay, so you don't sign Didi. You know, maybe there's a couple things. You know, you don't buy out the arbitration years of some of these guys who are making no money, so there's some flexibility. You know, Francisco Lindor, you know, he'd be up at the end of 2021. He's making like something like 20-something million dollars for the next 2 years, and Gerrit Cole's going to get every dollar in the world. I mean, it's just not that easy when you've got a guy who's not producing out
that's
there
why they
with a $300 million contract.
That's why they have, you're the Yankees. You're hoping he goes to the Angels.
Yeah, sure. Get him out. I would love.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think the Angels will go heavily after him because of what the hell the Angels are coming through right now with this whole opioid thing and everything.
Yeah, they need to divert the attention. Shiny object over here.
They need new credibility out there.
Right.
You know, they got the DEA sniffing around the organization and the players and the administration and everything else. What they need is they need a new face of that franchise to go along with Mike Trout.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of Yankee fans will say, who cares about the luxury tax stuff? I know as fans, you want to say that you lost again. You know, you lost to the Red Sox last year. You lost to the Astros again this year. Who cares about that stuff? Spend the money. And maybe the Yankees will, you know, and maybe they'll just go for it like the Red Sox did a couple years ago and say, screw it. We'll pay the penalties. We've got to win a championship. The money that we get revenue-wise from a championship will be able to cover that cost. Maybe they will. I just know that the facts are out there. When you start going over with the payroll, those penalties are prohibitive. And just look at the Red Sox and see what they're doing. You start hearing, like, trading Mookie Betts. You know, again, they got rid of their general manager, for crying out loud, because of a change of a philosophy.
You know, I still go back to, you know, and I know Luke Voit did not have a great September and all this other stuff, but he was in the midst of a lot of success for the Yankees this year. And given the fact that Stanton was hurt and only played in two games, and given the fact that Edwin Encarnacion was a disaster.
The worst.
I mean, you would have thought that maybe, just maybe, somebody would have had some stones over there and said, you know what, let's just bring Luke Voit up and let's put him up and let's see what happens.
Couldn't have been worse.
Let's see if we can catch a little lightning in the bottle. Who knows?
Couldn't have been worse.
And they never decided to go that way. They decided to stick with what they thought was the team that got them there. I'm not so sure that was... I don't know. I it was the one thing that really bothered me about all of this is that they put Stanton in a uniform, and he did nothing except for the game one. That was it.
Yeah, the game six thing, and I understand that, you know, you probably have a better lineup without him at this point. But then again, Encarnacion plays for him, and he's just as bad, right? But I mean, the fact that he plays in game five, and then the report is out there that he came out of the game fine, but, you know, with the flight and the short turnaround, they didn't want to test it. Give me a break.
Oh, by the way, is he playing for the World Series? Is he on the World Series roster? No, there isn't one. That's right. Why.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man.
They play. I don't know. I don't understand that whole thing.
I was watching some old, like, you know, 2003, 2004 ALCS stuff with Yankees, Red Sox. It was on, like, MLB and
all
this stuff.
You're a big Yankee fan. By the way, when you were at Game 5 on Friday night and Hicks hits the home run and hits the foul pole, did you high-five and cheer?
I mean, I went with three diehard Yankee fans that wanted me involved. So, you know, I gave them a little encouragement. Sure. What was I going to do? Root against them? Absolutely
not. I'm not saying that you root against them, but I mean,
no,
but
I just got to show.
Did you high five him and cheer? Like, did you go, yes? Oh, my God.
I don't know about that. I think somewhere in between not cheering and your demonstration.
What was it like?
I think someone puts their hand up and, you know, you slap the hand. That's what you do.
I mean, but you were all up into it, bro. That was like two games in a row you went to.
I did. One was in the fan suite, and the other one was in regular seats. Yeah. And by the way, once again, legends. I mean, that day was just
better seats, you or Mike?
Probably Mike. I think probably Mike. But I did.
I mean, you were in the legend seats.
I did see him, by the way. I mean, it was like a cruise ship passing in the night. Like, you know, as he walks through Legends, just slowly saunters through it. Everyone's like, ooh. It just like took a look as he went down the stairs. But
right. But
it is, I mean, that's.
No time for fools today.
That setup that they have there at the legend seats is like as good as it gets. Friday night was awesome, man. It was a really fun time. I got to admit. Oh, by the way, so just back to that last point. I was watching like the 03, 04 stuff with the Yankees, the Boone game, and then, of course, the disaster for the Yankees in 04. And that whole Schilling thing, right? He's bleeding through the sock. They're pumping him up with drugs. You sure? Like his teammates, you know, Ortiz, like, you sure you're going to do this? He's like, I'm going to do this, you know? And I'm thinking about juxtaposing that against Giancarlo Stanton, who couldn't test his quad the next day after a long flight and a short turnaround.
I think Reggie Jackson said it for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a break. All right, Boomer and Geo just getting started on this Monday morning on The Fan, across the country on CBS Sports Network, and always on radio.com. Heard from a couple of friends, said they use this rewind thing. Say it's awesome. They pause it, and they rewind it, and they listen to more of the show that they missed. So check out radio.com rewind when you get a chance. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.